This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back in to the Illini Inquirer podcast, and boy, these have been fun and interesting here lately as Illinois has won 11 of its final 12 games with another top 10 road victory, another top 25 road victory. That's three in a row for Illinois to end the season, only this time Io DeSumo returns. And Io DeSumo does what Io DeSumo does, closing the game with six of the Illini's last 9 points, the final 5 points, including the go-ahead layup and then a couple more free throws. Illinois defeats Ohio State 73-68. I'm Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher. Joey Wagner, we're both at home today while Derek Piper's on the road in Columbus, and got to see another classic. And Derek's, you know, been our guy on the road, been able to see these, but even watching these from a TV, Joey, this was the one where I just didn't think they were going to pull it out. I just, to take people behind the curtain a little bit, when I'm writing my quick hits, I try to write what I think is going to happen so we can post it within just a couple minutes of the game ending. And I had written most of that game that Illinois was going to win, and kind of had a connection to the 2005 team because Illinois that year got a number one seed despite losing its final game and ruining a perfect season at that point. And I kind of had something to go back with that. And then all of a sudden I turned it into EJ Liddell, right? Like EJ Liddell again crushes Illinois and, you know, drives a stake into their heart as the one who got away. But they're down four with 3 minutes left, and I think they're going to lose the game because Ohio State was playing well. It was a heavyweight fight. It lived up to all the hype, and I'll let you talk here in a moment. But then Illinois stops Ohio State 10 straight times. Ohio DeSumo is a superhero in a mask, and Damonte Williams, of all people, hits another clutch three-pointer. What a performance. What a win to snag that from the jaws of defeat, and what a close to a special regular season that just makes you think maybe this team can win a national title. Maybe this is the team that can win a national title, Joey.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go behind the curtain a little bit. It was Frazier hits the three, gets him within one, and you're like, well, all right, you know, maybe you're starting to, they're going to turn this thing on. And then of all the freaking people on the face of the earth to hit a three, it's EJ Liddell. And it's a four-point game. Frazier misses a three on the other. And this is a little, maybe 3.5 minutes left. I was like, man, the way EJ Liddell's playing. I mean, at that point, he had scored 10 straight points for them. And goodness gracious, or like 10 of 12.
It was 10 points. It was 10 points in less than 4 minutes, right? And it's just like that guy hadn't been much of a factor. I think at that point, he had 11 shots and had 9 points. You're like, hey, they're doing a pretty good job. And then he just goes off.
I at that point, like, I don't know who's going to match up. And then Brad Underwood puts Damonte Williams on him. And that has been what Damonte Williams' role has been on this team, is that defensive stopper. He's not, you know, he's probably undersized if you're going to ask him to play the four, but he just finds a way every time. And then Io, I mean, it was, I don't know. What do you say about that guy? At this point, it's March 6th of his third year in school. I have no idea what else. Like, we talk about these angles. Like, what are we going to take? You know, we try to map it out, and it's like, my goodness, we could just have the Io angle after every freaking game. But at some point, you're saying the same thing. And this one, Michigan was so impressive because they were without Io, and because I still think Michigan is incredibly good. And yes, I don't know why anybody would think otherwise. But then you go here, and, you know, you got to kind of merge in this masked hero, and you got to, you know, let everything else kind of fall back into a little bit of a place, right? I mean, for three games, they had kind of settled in and gotten some roles, and, you know, that was flowing. But obviously, you want your guy out there every single second of every game you can have him. But it does, you know, you figured it out a little bit, and it didn't look too bad. But you just had these questions, and the four mismatch had been Illinois' kryptonite a little bit for a while, and you thought, oh boy, this is like the four mismatch of all four mismatches with EJ Liddell, and figured out, man, and what a special year. 10, 11 of 12 down the stretch in the Big Ten Conference. They've been on the road since basically the middle of February, for the love of God. I mean, it's just what a stretch for these guys. And you know, it's taken me a while, Jim. Like, you mentioned the national title. It's taken me a while to really, like, see it. Like, you hear them talk about it all the time, and I'm like, all right, well, that's a really, really hard thing to do. But now you see it. And yeah, maybe I'm the one who's late to the party. I don't know. But now you see it a little bit.
I think we always knew they had that kind of potential to get on a run, right? Like, but they hadn't done that run, right, this season. Last year we saw that 7-game win streak, and you're like, they got a special player, and they got some pieces that Illinois, you don't want to play them when you get to the NCAA tournament. Of course, we didn't get that NCAA tournament. But I think why you're buying it now, Joey, is some of the question marks we had are starting to be answered. And I think the big one is, who's the number three guy, right? Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn. And Kofi didn't have a great night tonight, right? The free throws are a problem for him. He was 0 for 5 tonight. When he misses one or two, it just seems like he's done, right? Like, that, the rest of the game, he's really going to struggle with it. But he still got you 12 points, got some big rebounds down the stretch that probably went a little overlooked. Ayo is special again, and we'll talk more about his mask. And let's just bring it now, because Ayo, you can't even write this stuff, right? Like, you can't even, like, write this stuff up of how can he even add to his legacy? Oh, he's going to get a broken nose. He's going to suffer a concussion. He's going to be out 3 games. They're going to play well without him. Then he's going to come back, wear a mask, and still be awesome. And he's going to wear that the rest of the NCAA tournament. And it's like, what more can you write? I mean, he just does it time after time. And I don't know how many games we're at of him closing them out, but we're double digits, and there's no player in Illinois history, certainly, that has that claim to fame. But to get back on point, Andre Curbelo is a superstar right now. The last 5 games, he scored double digits, only one of the previous 12 you had. And Adam Miller isn't that guy right now to go get you 12. He can once in a while, and that's what you saw against Nebraska, and you know he's capable of that, and he plays good defense. Trent Frazier showing up at Michigan and playing his best game ever is an Illini. You know you have another guy that can do that. He hits a three late in this game that I think Illinois was fortunate to keep possession there as they looked to dribble it out of bounds, but he made that three. So I think, and Jacob Grandison has stepped up. Demonte Williams has gotten far better. But for me, Andre Curbelo turning back into the player we saw early in the season. Then he hit that proverbial freshman wall. But now he controls games. Like, he controls games on a team with Kofi Coburn and Ayo Dosunmu. And when you have three of those guys that, you know, one of them has an off night, or one of them has an off 6-10 minute stretch here, you know you got the other one to pick you up. And not many college basketball teams have that. But Curbelo, now that's your big three. That is your big three. Oh, plus you have Frazier that can go off one night. You have Miller that's playing a good role. Williams playing a good role. Grandison. It's just that it's all come together right now. And they still have questions, whether it's guarding a four like EJ Liddell or making free throws or turnovers. But every team has certain questions like that. And they have fewer questions than all but, what, three other teams in the country.
You know, I thought about that, this exact conversation during the game, because for the longest time, you, me, and Piper had sat at the, you know, in that little lounge there in the Crush Lounge at the State Farm Center and asked the same question: who is the number three guy on this team? And whatever came out of Andre Curbelo, it's absolutely him. And I really believe this. Like, you know how there's always a team, you know, there's always like that guy who we get him on a national stage. And Ayo's going to be that guy. I don't think like he needs a tournament to be like that household name. Like that's so far gone at this point. He has been that for a long time, but people are going to turn on, be like, oh, let's see what this Illinois team's all about. Like, casual fans in the middle of, I don't know, wherever the heck they're watching this thing, not in Illinois. And they're going to see Curbelo and be, what do we got here? Who is this guy? Because he gets wherever he wants. I mean, there's no one who is real. I know Piper mentioned it. I don't know the last time someone stopped him from getting to where he wanted to be on the court. Now, he doesn't always finish them, but he gets whatever he wants out there. He is so crafty, and his ability to get to the rim is so unmatched. For someone, he's not the biggest guy. Like, there's some team is going to get really, really frustrated that their team is not stopping Andre Curbelo in the NCAA tournament. He's just that good, and it all makes sense. And we're probably looking at it now like he was just adapting. And the adaption to being Io's sidekick was a challenge for him because he's not been that. Like, he's always been the guy. Lujai is loaded, and there's a loaded team that's like, go for it, dude. Do whatever you got to do. So it took him a little bit, and it was bumpy. No one's going to pretend like this has been a perfect season for Andre Curbelo. It hasn't. But I don't know that any of that matters because right now, moving forward, he is totally in control. I mean, there were times, Jeremy, like 2 weeks ago where, like, he's not really playable at this moment in time. Right. Like, you've got to get him on the bench. I would say the first half of Michigan State, you're like, oh, this isn't it. Like, he's really struggling. And now you're like, are you good? Do you have enough water? Have you rested? Because we need you back on the floor immediately, if not sooner. It's amazing how quick it turned.
There's just few guys I've watched in college basketball, and I'm talking about this with a freshman, right? Like, he's a little flashier, but like when I watch guys like Jalen Brunson or Cassius Winston, right? Not the most physically gifted guys in the world, but they just control the pace of games. They get to places that other players can't. And Jalen was a far better shooter than Andre. But there's just this maturity about you and the ability to handle the ball, like ball handling. Just there's if we're doing 2K ratings, he's a 99, right? Like, it's just he controls the ball so well, and he uses, you know, change of direction and change of pace so well. And then, you know I referred to Io as the one-man fast break 2.0. He's Curbelo's one-man fast break 3.0. I mean, he is just a special, special talent. And I don't know if he's playing this well if Io Desumu is healthy. And that's kind of... It can be the silver lining of all of this is Andre Curbelo got a ton of confidence because he had to play that role and he loves to play that role. And it carried over in his first game with Io Desumu. And I think that's really encouraging. And I want to say as well, I think Damonte Williams carried that over. You saw him be aggressive today. He didn't make a bunch of shots today, but he did take more than he was taking before Io went out. Yeah, let's see. Williams was 2 of 5 today. A couple runners that didn't go in, but I like that he took them. Got to the free throw line one time, and then catch and shoot, man. Makes 2 of 3 and makes one of the clutchest baskets of the game. So I think that really helped those guys. And Trent was never in a rhythm tonight, but he still made a huge 3 down the stretch. So I think it will pay off. I do think we'll look back at that as a silver lining of this season.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it was hard. Like, it is hard to find a silver lining to not have Io. And it's probably easier for us to sit here and say that because they went 3-0 without Io. Like, if they're 1-2, 0-3, we're not talking. Like, Andre Curbelo could still be playing like this, but we're not talking about the silver lining. Like, that would have been, you're down on the 2 seed, maybe in that, probably not the 3 seed. I think the selection committee would have recognized why it was like that. But imagine how maddening it's got to be to try to guard Andre Curbelo. Like, he speeds you up and slows you down, and it all, both of those things happen within like a half a second. It's unbelievable the control that he plays with, and he sets the tone. He does not let somebody tell him he's going to play fast or he's going to play slow. He's relaying that message to everybody trying to cover him. And then you look at Damonte. At this point, there's enough of a body of work. I'm flabbergasted when he is in these catch and shoot opportunity positions, because he is going to make those shots. Like, he has proven a year ago, I'm nowhere near him. Probably not even on the same half side of the court as him if you're a defender, right? Like, shoot it all day. Thank you. Come again. But now he's just knocking him down. And that, like, we talked about, like, it was always a hypothetical for a few years. Like, boy, if Damonte Williams can give you 5 or 7, whoa, you know, this offense could be something. Okay, it's here. And this is what it looks like. And it changes so much when he's able to do that. And I don't even know, Jeremy, if 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, Kofi had a fine night tonight. It was okay. I don't know if they withstand that 2.5 weeks ago. I think they were so reliant in games on their two mega stars pulling them away from these losses. I just don't think that, and it's all confidence. It is, because now these guys know, hey, I've done this. I can do this. And again, I'm not saying Kofi had a bad game, but he did leave some to be desired out there. He started the second half a little rough. He missed some free throws. He had the fourth foul. He probably had the fourth foul sooner than he did. I thought they got pretty lucky that it was given to Damonte. But, man, to withstand that, and Io's Io. And like we, again, it's crazy, dude. We talk so much about this and we're breaking down every point of the game because it's just like, okay, this is what he does. And I don't know what else screams player of the year, All-American, that just glossing over a little bit. I mean, we're not completely, but like, this is just what you expect at this point. And that is insane.
Yeah. I do want to talk about this too, Joey, because I was thinking, you know, 9-0 run, we focus on the scoring, right? And Io, you know, attacking the basket, getting to the free throw line, DeMonte making the three. But they just shut down an Ohio State team that was, I think at that point, 9 of 20 from three. And the last 10 shots didn't go in for Ohio State. And a lot of that was Illinois defense. Did you get lucky on one or two? Maybe. But I thought Illinois' defense took it to another level late in that game, especially when Ohio State was making threes. And here's another point. But they missed 10 straight shots, 7 straight three-pointers in the game. This coaching staff is making adjustments, and I want to focus on them here for a second, but putting DeMonte there, or at Michigan, getting Trent in those ball screens, they are making adjustments as this season goes along and as games go along that are fantastic. Now, you need the players to make it happen, but this is a great coaching staff, and they have put their players in positions to succeed, and I think they've made the adjustments along the way, whether it's Jacob Grandison in the starting lineup, right? Just putting Andre Curbelo and saying, we're going to live or die with you, man, for the next three games without Io, right? We're still going to bring you off the bench, but we're going to live with it. Or those little in-game things like putting Frazier in those ball screens or putting DeMonte Williams on EJ Liddell, it's working. And the other part is their motivational techniques right now, and we've talked about them before, are working, man. Because when Brad said Luka Garza is the best player in the country, Io took his game to an absolute another level, right? And then we see, you know, Brad's talking about like Michigan. I think that fired that team up for that game. And now Brad's talking like, hey, we should be Big Ten champions. And, you know, if Michigan loses to Michigan State and goes 14-3 and ends the season that way, I think you have a case for co-champions, okay? Or at least Michigan's still going to be the champion, but at least Illinois has an argument for it, right? Of like, hey, we won 16 games. They didn't play a full schedule. Maybe we should get a share of this too. It's a weird year, right? But he's using that as a carrot. I think he was using the number one seed as a carrot for this team. And I just think he's pushing, and his staff, whether it's Gentry, Antigua, Chin Coleman, they're pushing the right buttons right now.
They are, and a lot of that is Brad has had, you know, you only have really two freshmen who are playing substantially. So he understands very well what is going to motivate these guys. He has known them for a long, long time. He knows how to push them to that point. And I would almost put money that he had shown those pictures of Michigan cutting down the net and holding up their signs or whatever. That had to be on a loop somewhere, because Brad – like, I thought he kind of threw shade, you know, a little bit before the Michigan game. And I, you know, you maybe talked yourself out like, oh, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't. Yeah, he threw it tonight. And that, I think, was a glimpse into what he does behind closed doors. Only it's obviously, I'm sure, much more pointed behind closed doors.
Well, and I even mentioned this, and this is another part of the team we've talked about before, but it's a team that loves to be pushed. Like, these guys signed up to play for Brad, right? Or if they didn't and they didn't like it, they're gone. But all these guys allow Brad to be Brad, to really push them and push their buttons. And Io said the other day in practice, Brad really reamed him out. Like, most coaches, or at least us, would be like, yeah, Io's coming back. Just do your thing, man. You're fine. Brad's reaming him out because he was awful defensively. And he told Io, you're going to have the shortest comeback. You're going to play for 30 seconds and come out because you're not playing a lick of defense. And Io thrives off that. Kofi loves that from Brad, of pushing him. And it seems like Curbelo's the same way, man, because you think Curbelo's this fun, carefree guy, but he's a competitor too. And Brad seems to have pushed him pretty well too. So kudos to them for both sides of being able to get the most out of each other.
You know, absolutely. I want to go back to the in-game adjustments a little bit. And this is a question to ask Brad here down the stretch. How much of that is like, these guys are older? Like, when they're younger, can you throw these adjustments? I mean, are they overwhelmed to the point where it's like, this is what we told you were going to do. You know, this is what we're going to have you do. And now that, you know, they're a little more comfortable, there's confidence through the roof of this team. I mean, I don't know if you can argue otherwise, just the way that they carry themselves. Does that allow him to maybe be a little more freewheeling in some of these adjustments and moving guys around and understanding that, yeah, Demonte can get EJ Liddell, but someone's got to, you know, back up where Demonte was. And that comfort, I think, probably allows him to, I don't even want to call it a gamble, but to push the envelope a little bit and to recognize that this is collectively a mature and experienced team that allows some of those moves to be made.
This team overcame a bad night at the free throw line yet again. Like that is one thing. I thought tonight was finally the night I had it written in my quick hits. Like, it finally cost them, right? That they finally missed their free throws and they finally lost a game because at one point they were 11 of 20, I believe it was, but they make their last four, right? Like, they step up, they make their last four at the line and find a way to win this game. Ohio State had a lot of second chance opportunities. Illinois also got some of those back though. And Ohio State was getting hot from three. And while Illinois is a pretty good three-point shooting team, like, they don't shoot the volume that some other teams do. And, but Illinois won the paint, man. They got to the rim. So they overcame some of those little things in the game. But this is one of the most impressive weeks of Illinois basketball history, right? When we talk about a regular season, you're without your best player for two road trips, right, to top 25 teams – and a team I might have in my national championship game in my bracket in Michigan. I think they're still awesome. I think that team is great. And if they beat Michigan State tomorrow, they deserve the Big Ten championship. And they deserve the one seed, and they are great. You won there without Io DeSumo, and then you follow it up, getting Io back, and there's no, like, adjustment period. There's no negative impact of that. And you went back-to-back top 10 road games. It's one of the most impressive weeks. It's definitely the most impressive week I've covered, Joe, and you've covered, but it's one of the most impressive weeks in Illinois basketball history.
It is, and it just shows where this program has come. Io talked about it today. Like, after this game 2 years ago, so his freshman year, obviously last year was so weird, it was basically like, all right, well, when are we going home? Like, we're going to go to Chicago for the Big Ten tournament, and, you know, let's be real about things. Probably not going to win that party, and we're going to get out of here. And just how far they've come, and I don't think anything highlights it more than this week of basketball. I mean, this is, you know, ESPN did its best to try to build this as like a battle for a number one seed. That was maybe a little dramatic for my taste, but it wasn't that far off. And
no, like, my thought on that, Joey, was Illinois, and we'll talk about it here in a second. Like, if Illinois lost, now it's a discussion. Right. Like, Ohio State wouldn't have locked up the one seed if they won. Right.
Right. Right. And it's just, man, you know, and I wondered, I mean, we talked about it, Jeremy, like, okay, Io's coming back. And I had talked to Mike LaTulip. I talked to Deion Thomas, and you and I were like, well, Revonte Rice, right? He goes down in 04-05, Malcolm Hill and Kendrick Nunn get going, and then they come back and it's just not it. And I asked Deion and I asked Mike, and they're like, it's just not the same. Io's a different player. But in the back of my mind, I think probably in the back of a lot of people's minds, you're like, man, this is good right now with them. Like, seems like a pretty good thing. And no one was like, don't play Io. That's the stupidest thing I've heard my entire life.
I never thought they'd be better with Io not on the court. Oh my God, right? Like, that's ridiculous.
But you did wonder some of those little smaller pieces. I didn't think it was going to linger for long. I thought by the time they got to the tournament, if there were any hiccups, those were going to be solved from this game and then however many games they play in the Big Ten tournament. But, I mean, that existed. And then, you know, within the first, like, 10 minutes of this game, Io gets his mid-range shot, and you're like, okay, well, that's over. Like, this is just better.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, he got out-rebounded a couple times, and then he passed up a three, right, when there was, like, the clock was winding down, the shot clock, and he just threw it to Curbelo. And it's like, what's he going to do with that? Shoot the ball. You're Io DeSumo. But then he made a couple jumpers, and it was like, okay, yeah, he's fine. He's fine. All right, Joe, when we come back, let's talk about the one seed, if that is all locked up. Let's talk about the Big Ten tournament, the start of the postseason. It is finally here, and it'll all be very close to us, though most of us can't attend in Indianapolis. And I do want to mention why Illinois fans might be upset with us come Sunday morning. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, let's get that out of the way. Why Illinois fans will be upset about us, Joey, because Bob Osmussen of the News Gazette, and I'm thankful for Bob for asking us, he asked all of us, I think in the Illinois media, who will win the Big Ten tournament. And most Illini fans will want the media covering their team to pick Illinois, but you and I are haters, and we did not pick Illinois, neither of us. I don't know if Piper had a pick here. I'll have to text him afterwards. But like, I think Illinois can win this thing, and it looks dumber after winning Michigan and Ohio State, but I did fill this out before today's game. I went with Iowa, okay? I went with Iowa because I think it means the most to them. They didn't win a Big Ten title. They're not going to have a number one seed. Maybe they could put themselves like right on the top of the two line if they win this thing. But I think to them, this is going to mean a lot if they win a Big Ten championship. Not that it won't for Illinois, not that it won't for Michigan, but Illinois and Michigan are thinking national championship, man. Like that is what they're thinking. They're thinking, what do we need to do to put ourselves in the best situation? And, you know, winning a Big Ten tournament doesn't hurt. But I picked Iowa and you picked...
I picked Michigan, and I know that is going to go over very, very poorly by a lot of people. And I will say this. I've been getting very frustrated with the way that game on Tuesday has been presented. Like, oh, it's just an off night for Michigan, and Michigan's still Michigan. That is true. Like, it was an off night for Michigan, and Michigan is still really good. But Illinois has a lot to do with that being an off night for Michigan. Like, for people just to throw their arms up and be like, yeah, I don't know, you know, everyone has a clunker like that. Illinois did a lot to make that a clunker for Michigan, and that shouldn't be overlooked.
I think Kofi Coburn did a lot to Hunter Dickinson to make it like that, and Trent Frazier did a lot to Mike Smith. I think that's a tough matchup for Michigan.
Yeah, and it's a two-man – they made it a two-man game, and they basically said, our two men, Trent – and Kofi are better than Dickinson and Mike Smith. And of course, Illinois did very, very well defending the wings. But I still think Michigan's really good. And I don't think I'm a fool for thinking the Big Ten regular season champion could win the Big Ten tournament. That seems very rational to me. But I also filled that out before this game. I thought about texting Bob, like, hey, dude, can I amend that? Has it gone to print? Like, what are we doing here? But I'll stand by it. I think Michigan's really good. And that's not saying Illinois is not.
Yeah.
Illinois very much is.
And I think Iowa is starting to play a little defense, right?
Yeah.
I think they're better than the Iowa team that Illinois played the first time around. And I can't wait for that matchup. And me personally, as somebody who covers Illinois and wants to cover a Big Ten championship game, I'd love to see Illinois back in the Big Ten championship game for the first time since I think they were the 11 seed back in Chester Frazier's junior year when they made a run and Brian Butch in Wisconsin beat them up. But like, I just think there are other good teams in the Big Ten too. And I'm not afraid to get the flack from the Illini fans though.
I'm not either. And look, dude, that is a tall order to play Iowa on Saturday And if you win that, you play Michigan probably on Sunday. That is tough. Now, of course, we just went on this long, big thing about what they did this week. Yeah. And I'm sure Sunday I'm going to look like a fool for doing this. But that's what's fun about this, man. It's not like it's Tuesday and you're like, I don't know, should you book the hotel for Thursday? What's the situation here? No, we are talking about can they win this? And that is a long way from 2 years ago.
And we are just giving Brad Underwood proper motivation. Right, like he said he probably doesn't read the paper. I don't know, he might still get it, but
someone does.
they'll show it, and everyone, all these other homers in the media will have picked Illinois.
I thought I can't wait for this to come out just to see if somebody else is going to be hanging out with us on this block, or
no,
if we're going to be the only out of towners here.
No, you and I are going to be the only two haters in this whole thing, right? Like, and I wrote, like, I'm going to pick Illinois to the Final Four, by the way. Like, I am. I just think the way this is setting up, the dynamics of their game, and what I look for when I fill out a Final Four, Joey, is who's top 10 defensively in KenPom, and who is, you know, top 15, and who's top 20 offensively. Because I need a team that can do both, and they are doing both. And while they had bad defensive stretches today, they played pretty dang good offense and then had a great defensive stretch to end it. So they enter this postseason with the highest expectations in 16 years. And while there are really, really tough teams ahead, they're setting themselves up for the easiest possible path, I think. Because I think one great thing, Joey, about being a one seed in the Big Ten is you're going to avoid a two seed from the Big Ten. You're not going to have Iowa. You're not going to have Ohio State, who I think is a tough matchup for Illinois. You're not going to have those two teams in your way. And those would be two of the top teams I'd be scared of. Like Florida State, I wouldn't want them in my bracket. I wouldn't want West Virginia in my bracket. So those are two teams I'm looking out for. But like your odds just so much increase when you get that one seed, especially first round should be fine. Right, should be fine. It's only not been fine once in history. And then an 8-9 game, man, Illinois, that's like an easy game on their Big Ten schedule, right? Like that's like playing Indiana for most teams, and they find a way to win those. So count me in. I'm not buying them in the Big Ten tournament, but I'm counting them in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I am too. And also they have a guy who is literally like created in a lab for moments like this. Like this is what – like, I think if you're an Illinois fan or even us, like, dude, this is fun to watch, right? It's fun to cover. Fun basketball. It's a good time. That was the thing. It's like, man, until July 31st, we're like, Iowa never got the tournament moment. And that was like, shoot. And I think any, you know, you put your chips on the table and you're like, that's the guy. Like, if you look around college basketball, that's the guy. So you put in the path of a number one seed and what that could look like. And I agree with you. I would say if them to a Final Four is a very reasonable bet. And then you just put on the fact that Iota Sumu exists in an Illinois jersey. I'm like, well, that seems like if I were going to gamble on something, it would be like, yeah, that's a good odd.
What would have to be the odds? Like, and I'm terrible at this. Just I don't gamble. I hate, you know, losing money. So like to make the Sweet 16, like, to me, mid-January, that was a question. I don't question that very much right now. Like, I don't see that with this team right now. And maybe you get a bad matchup, right? And it can happen. We saw against Michigan State. That was a bad matchup for Illinois. They played poorly, and it cost them. So it still can happen. But I would – would you give up $100 to win 10? I think that's a good bet. Like, for Sweets, I would put that kind of money down for that. Elite Eight, obviously a little less because it's a four matchup or a five matchup, and then it gets harder, but I would buy that. But by the way, Brad Evans, who's my go-to, I asked him, I haven't seen your Twitter because we're doing post-game. He said, do you think that locks up a one seed for Illinois? He said, it's done, it's over, indisputable. And I just had this thought, Joey, of a week from Sunday. So if people are listening to this on Sunday, a week from that day, you will finally see Illinois on Selection Sunday, hear their name come off. But it's not like getting in as a 7 or just sneaking in as an 11 or a 10 seed. After 8 years of not playing in an NCAA tournament, they're a 1 seed.
Crazy, right? That's crazy. And to build off a little bit of what you talked about, I was on the radio with Jim Mattson in Peoria last week. And Sweet 16 feels like the floor to me. I mean, like you said, you can get upset in the first or second, but that feels like the floor. So this team, since 2013, hasn't been in the NCAA tournament. You hear their name called, it's going to be a one seed. And you could probably book some plans for 2 weekends to see them in the Sweet 16. And what? Like, that's crazy. That's where it is, and that's
just because we kind of missed this step. We missed the step of last year, so that's what makes this like you missed the step of getting in and getting in comfortably. And it's kind of like, hey, Illinois is back. They get to they win an NCAA tournament game, right? Like that's the first step, and maybe they get an upset to get to the Sweet 16. But then it's like, okay, that's the step. Like Darren and D and all of them took that step, and then the next year was just that's the national championship team. It was this buildup, and I know it's been a buildup. But in the NCAA tournament in the postseason, it hasn't been. Like, Io DeSumo has not played a postseason game at Illinois, right?
He'd freshman, or, I mean, Big Ten tournament freshman year, right?
Yeah, I mean, Big Ten tournament freshman year, but that's it.
Yeah, nothing else. And that's, like, we talk so much about Io. It's like, he's done X, he's done Y, he's done Z, he did X again, he did Y again. And then you're like, oh, my God. The most obvious thing here, short of beating Missouri, is – playing the NCAA tournament.
Now he's got to come back for a senior year and beat Missouri.
But seriously, that's like he just, again, it's a lot of it's who he is and the player he is and his personality in those moments that it just feels like a given that he should have been in the NCAA tournament. And frankly, I mean, you look at it two ways. One, he gets in and he gets that step last year and there's no COVID and it happens and he probably goes pro and you don't get this. But, you know, it all kind of ended up working out. He's going to dance, but isn't that crazy? I mean, that is Trent Frazier, never. Damonte Williams, never. That is – it's unbelievable when you look at where Illinois is today. And I thought you nailed it. Like, there wasn't – we've seen it building because we see every game this team plays. Yeah. And fans see it building. But there are going to be a lot of people in, like, Utah who are like –
I don't think there are a lot of people in Utah, by the way.
The six people in Utah are going to see this and be like, where did this team come from? And that, yeah. Like, it's just
– I mean, what's the last Illinois basketball memory of someone that's like a lukewarm Florida basketball fan?
It's got to be Darren D, right? I mean, like
– like, do they remember like Malcolm Hill didn't play in an NCAA tournament game. Do they remember Brandon Paul? Like is that's probably not even on their radar.
No, it's like that is when, again, like we take for granted existing in this bubble. That's like, okay, everybody ought to know this because like one, it's a huge part of our daily lives, but two, like it's just so used to like this being the topic of conversation all the way around. But like, I don't remember some of these Florida teams. I don't remember some of the – like the last Florida team, it's my guy Joakim Dansen.
No, Bradley Beal was pretty good. I remember some of his teams were pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, fair.
Got to the Elite Eight a lot, yeah.
It's crazy to understand that Illinois is also that to a lot of people. And again, it's because we live in the state and we cover it and we're all over it. But, like, there are going to be people who see Illinois. I promise you, on Selection Sunday – somebody's going to be like five beers in and be like, how are they a number one seed? Where have they been? Well, they've been trying to do this, but COVID ruined it.
But I think like now they are on the radars of those people. And now they're like one of the teams people want to watch because one Io DeSumo. And then once they tune in to see Io and Kofi, they see this kid Curbelo. That's pretty dang good. And they're like, oh yeah, that Brad Underwood. He was at Stephen F. Austin, right? And crushed that conference. What was he? 53-1 there. And, which his conference record as a coach is unbelievable, by the way. But it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. 29-11 the last 2 years in the Big Ten for Brad Underwood. What an accomplishment. And Io stuck up for him. That was really cool to hear. Io really saying, like, how is my coach not in the National Coach of the Year honors? And, you know, for Ohio State, I want to talk about the other side of that. They got to play on Thursday of the Big Ten tournament. A team that had a number one seed just 2 weeks ago. Now is the 5 seed. They're going to be a top 10 team in the country, and they're a 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament because Purdue is playing lights out right now. Nobody's talking about it, but they're a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. They're a 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament. And then you got Michigan, one of the best teams in the country, and Iowa, one of the best teams in the country, and one of the deepest conferences. But That's a tough fall for Ohio State, and I think that might have been them coming back, because that's a really good team, but they don't have Garza. They don't have a Hunter Dickinson. Like, Liddell is really, really good, but they just don't have as much depth, and they have a few holes on their team. Like, C.J. Walker's a nice player, but he's just not the lead guard you need, and their center situation could just be exploited by a guy like Kofi Coburn or Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah, it's... That was always my question with Ohio State. And like, that's why I think Chris Holtman has a very loud voice in Big Ten Coach of the Year, because they are such a sum of their parts team. And like, EJ is going to be a first team All-American at some point in his career, as early as probably next season.
He's so good. Like, he's so good. He's so fun to watch.
There's so much. Look, I've not complained about Dick Vitale, but he like played this like EJ was like scorned by Illinois, and there was a brief segment where he's like, you gotta feel good to get your home team. It's like, dude, they tried. Like, this isn't one of those where they just turned their back to EJ Liddell. They tried.
Well, apparently Brad Underwood didn't try hard enough to get that relationship, because it's still developing, apparently.
Well, I think that's the only thing someone clued Dick Vitale on today, then, because he was leaning on them. But yeah, I mean,
he did call Andre Curbelo an All-American.
Oh my god.
He's played like one the last five games or so, but I don't know if Andre's quite an All-American. Like, he's going to be, I think, Andre All Big Ten next year. I'm in on that train. Maybe someday he can be an All-American. Yeah.
Yeah. He's so, okay. Can we talk about Io too? Okay. Let me just, like, it's the year 2040. Okay. Like, people are looking at pictures. Is this like Illinois is still going? It's an empty gym. And this dude whose jerseys is hanging in the rafters is wearing a freaking black mask, leading this team. But like, I don't think a lot of people understand, like, that is tough to put a mask on and to just like play like you don't have it on. Like, he didn't miss a beat. It's not like his shot was off. It's not like any of that. He just puts this superhero mask on and just goes off. And like, that's going to be a really weird picture in 20 years for somebody to look at and remember how strange all of this was. But I don't know how – I mean, I want to talk about it. I don't know what else to say.
Hold on. Let me do this.
No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
If I pull that off, will you die?
It would be extremely painful.
You're a big guy.
For you.
Oh, I love it. Love it. I know everyone's throwing out like Batman. I'm like, no, that's not it. And Bane's not true, because it's not over his mouth. But like, it was more Lone Ranger. And for me, I just remember LeBron. LeBron with that mask. And that's what he said. He was inspired by that. He went to black. I think he liked the way it looked a little bit more than the clear mask. And I would agree with that. I think it's a little bit more intimidating. But the superhero name, and hey, Rob McCauley, I'll give him this. That was a fun question. And we got a good answer out of Damonte Williams, which is very difficult to do, but call him Mamba Dose. That's his superhero name. So I don't know how you felt about that one.
I loved it. I mean, give the shout out to Kobe. He called himself, I think he actually, like, before the mask, was like G Mamba or something. Like, Kobe Bryant is a big part of Io DeSumo's basketball upbringing. And all he does is throws on the mask, relishes the late moments. I mean, I don't know, man.
You just can't write a better story than Io DeSumo. Like, you can't. And I'm going to write it this week. I feel confident writing it this week. That's the best regular season we've ever seen. It's the best regular season we've ever seen. I asked Kent Brown, who is the Illinois Sports Information Director, and he said with the clutch performances of the numbers he's putting up, that's certainly the case. And then I went to Lauren Tate. And just, that, you know, who else do you ask but Lauren Tate? And he was basically like, yeah, no question. No question. Because, like, Kendall Gill, his senior season, put up numbers similar to Io, but they were 11-7, I believe, in the Big Ten. They lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So Io still has, you know, things to accomplish. D. Brown had one of the best seasons, had some of the best awards Illinois ever had, consensus first team All-American, was Big Ten Player of the Year. And that was the best, you know, you can argue best or, you know, them there are 89 for the best team ever, but they were the most accomplished team ever. 37-2, got to the national championship game. But he was part of a three-headed monster, right? And I know Kofi is awesome, and they are not nearly as good without Kofi. But just one player, like one season, it's going to be hard for anyone to top what Iowa's doing right now.
It is. I mean, the numbers he's putting up, what he was 20.8, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, something like that off the top of my head. I know it's out there, but that's crazy. And he's also above average, I would say, defender. So you put all of this together, and then the clutch moments. And again, we talked before when the National Player of the Year award was really, really hot. It's cooled off a little bit because he missed 3 games. At least nationally, it's cooled off. I think the argument is still very much fair, warranted, and valid. But you put those clutch moments in all of these games where it's like he's just broken everybody. Like, he has legitimately broken. There might be a parade after Indianapolis of these Big Ten coaches, like, just ushering him out of the Big Ten forever. They never want to see this guy again. Yeah. He has been a complete nightmare for all of them. And then, look, I know we're talking about 1 year, and it is. It's got to be up there for one of the greatest. But I zoom out and look at the backdrop of what this was and what this program was before he got here and how big of a win it was for Brad Underwood to get him at that Nike store, to hold him off from Wake Forest, to bring him here, and for him to take the leap. Dude, not every 17, 18-year-old kid is looking at that challenge and being like, I'm going to be the one to do that. I mean, that is – first of all, we should have known then, like, this kid is going to be something else, for him to, like, walk into that.
Yeah.
And embrace it.
And the thing is, Io didn't have Kansas and Kentucky banging down his door, so that certainly helped, right? Right. Like, that certainly helped. And he knew he would be good. He didn't think he'd be this good. And that's credit to him, to his family. His father's been a big part of that, to the Illinois staff. He's just special. He's just – they don't make him like him. And you probably don't get Andre Curbelo without him. You don't get Adam Miller without, Io showing him that he could do it there. And I've been talking a little bit, and I'm going to shout out my brother for a second straight time here. But I've been talking about this for a while. Like, this is the blueprint of how you build a team and a program that contends for Big Ten titles and national titles year after year. Look at Gonzaga. Look at Baylor. Look at Michigan, right? Yes, you have some great talent there, but these aren't the 5-star laden teams with one and dones. It's old teams with a couple real, like, you got to have top 50 guys. Gonzaga certainly has them. Baylor's, got some. Michigan certainly has them, but they're old, talented teams, and they stick around, and then you build upon that. So if you could get, like, a bunch of top 30 to 100 guys, the right pieces together, then add one or two really, really good ones like Michigan did with Hunter Dickinson or Gonzaga did with Jalen Suggs. That's the model, man. That's why we're talking about those four teams, even in Iowa or even Ohio State right now, is teams that can make deep runs compared to right now Duke and North Carolina are duking it out just to get into the tournament.
Yeah. Yucky game, by the way. There is a sweet spot. Like, everybody wants the number one rated kid in the class. They should. He's number one rated for, like, what Zion did at Duke that year was freaking incredible. Like, it was brand. It was people packing in. It was butts in the seat. It was NCAA tournament. And there is, look, we saw Kentucky do it. We've seen it
once.
Done.
Well, they won a championship once, but they get to Final Fours a lot, right? Yeah, Elite Eights a lot.
We've seen them have some, but, like, the sweet spot to me is those 30 to 100. Hey, should I make the leap after my freshman year? Yeah, why don't you give this a run for your sophomore year and continuing the pipeline there? And a little bit, unfortunately, for Iowa, obviously there's a paycheck waiting for him in the NBA, but a pandemic put him into a third year.
You know who's a great example of this? Is Villanova. Look what they do year after. They're in the top 3 seed every year. They win a couple championships. They did lose a couple guys a year or two early. But every year, they're just an old team with guys who are talented, but not a bunch of one and done.
You talked about, maybe they don't get Curbelo if Io doesn't show up. Maybe there's such a universe where we are covering a not very fun basketball team. And, like, so then maybe they don't get Adam. Maybe they don't get Curbelo. Go back to that Florida Atlantic game. If Io's not on the floor and you're Kofi sitting there, outside of the, like, and we shouldn't understate the relationships the coaching staff builds in these recruitments. But if you're sitting there in that Florida, like, the piece for Kofi was like, I saw what they had. I knew what I do. And I know what we could be. Like, that was a selling point to him. If Io's not on the floor, what is your selling point on the floor? Like, there's such a crazy universe not far away.
You know what that universe is? It's Trent Frazier as a top five scorer all time at Illinois, not making an NCAA tournament, just like Malcolm Hill. Right? Like that's where it would have gone. Instead, Trent, he's going to finish top 20 in scoring all time, but he's going to be known for these two last teams and this one being a big piece of this last team and being a winner. Like, that's maybe if Iowa doesn't come here. I mean, they get other players, but no one as good as him.
Yeah, and like, we shouldn't, I mean, now that I sit here and think all this through, like, kind of underselling Brad and the coaching staff's recruiting ability. Like, if they don't get Iowa, it's like, oh my God, the world's on fire. But
I mean, you have Andres Feliz for a couple of years, but he would have been like your second best player, right?
You just can't understate how important that build. And that's what I think is, obviously everybody loves Io and his game is so good and his moments are so captivating. But I think a lot of people in their heart of hearts realize how close it was to not being this and how big of a piece he is just by showing up. It turned into being this. And it's what's going to make it, like, it just adds to this legacy of his. And this was such a downtrodden program. And his presence alone and his incredible, his manic work ethic helped him get better, helped the team get better. And now, like, someone asked Brad, like, you could be in Indianapolis for a month, like a month. Bring it.
Yeah. Well, here, let's look at the projected Big Ten tournament standings here. And I think you got to like the way right now that the projected would be. Illinois is going to be the 2 seed. Iowa is number 3 and Purdue is 4. Maybe those can I don't think they can flip. If Iowa loses, let me do my quick math here. Yeah, Iowa could flip. So if you were rooting for Wisconsin tomorrow, because I think you'd rather play Purdue than Iowa, right? On their side of the bracket.
Yeah, would that put Iowa then up in the
Yes, that would make them a 4 seed. So you're rooting for Wisconsin tomorrow, but I don't like their chances.
I got a call back.
Yeah, for that one. If Michigan State wins, then Maryland would go to the 8 because right now, if it goes chalk tomorrow on Sunday, it'd be Rutgers and Indiana in that 7-10 game. And I think that's – even though Rutgers beat you, they are not playing well. They're not playing well. They're not very good offensively. So those are two teams I think you match up very well with. You'd have Wisconsin, Purdue, Penn State, and Nebraska on the other side. I think Iowa is a team you want to avoid if you can on Saturday, but – if you have them, I'd love it because it's such a good matchup and such a great rivalry. But the bracket really works in your favor, I think, regardless, because, you know, Indiana, Maryland, Maryland does some things that I think hurt Illinois early in the season. And they got some big players. You know, Dante Scott's a tough matchup. You know, they got big guards. But I just think Illinois is a different team. So maybe they can upset you. I'd rather play Rutgers than Maryland. And I'm not worried about Indiana right now because they just can't score.
Look, either Rutgers or Maryland is more of the ultimate Brad Underwood prodding fodder for this team, right? Like, both these teams won. They beat you, maybe cost you a Big Ten championship.
Yep.
Yeah, good night. I don't think either one of those two. A, Illinois is just objectively better. And, I mean, especially where they're at now. But then you just put that wrinkle of who Brad Underwood's been all year, and it's like, I don't think there's really a – until Illinois gets to Saturday, I don't know that anything is very concerning. Any way this thing breaks apart is very concerning for them.
And even, Saturday, and even if it does, are you like concerned? Like, even if you lost to, say, Maryland on Friday night, it's a bummer, right? You don't have this fun run. You don't get a little bit more national attention. It doesn't change how I'd feel about this team.
No, my God, no. No, it's what it is at that point, right? Like, I don't think – we've seen teams bump out early in the conference tournaments and go on these ridiculous runs. Like, it's not – these two things exist in separate areas. I mean, you can do one and not do the other or vice versa.
I think Tom Izzo said he prefers not to stick around in the Big Ten tournament, just get to the NCAA tournament. Last thing. We're going long here, but there's so much to talk about. How many coaches in the Big Ten are out of a job by next week?
Okay. So, I think Minnesota – Clearly, Indiana might, dude, that is a costly endeavor to move Archie out of that spot. That is a very expensive order.
33 and 44 in Big Ten. But the hard part with them is, I mean, that is very costly, Joey, right? I think you're right. And I tend to think he might get another year. Plus, who are you able to hire? Like that's always a big question. Like if you can get John Calipari or Scott Drew, sure, right? Like if they're ready to move on, like if Kentucky and Cal just say, hey, this is a great run, we're moving on. Cal doesn't get an NBA job, maybe just goes, I'm going to turn around Indiana. That's how I'm going to finish this thing. Or if Scott Drew is just like, I'm going to return to my home state. You know, this is the best Baylor team I'm ever going to have. And let's go rebuild that. Like, let's go on to the next step after 2 decades at Baylor. But outside of those two, like, you're going to go in and get some, you know, A-10 coach or, you know, some assistant coach and think you're going to turn around? I don't know. Like, I think he'll get one more year. But, like, they're not recruiting well. They got one top, you know, 70 or top 80 guy coming in next year. Christian Lander should be better next year. But, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, if he comes back, maybe that's a tournament team. But I don't see that as a top 5 Big Ten team next year.
No, and, you know, I think I read, is it like $10.5 million for them to get rid of him? Now, someone's going to hire Archie Miller too. So, like, it's the old Lovey at Illinois thing where you're not going to have, probably by the all told, you're not going to have to pay that full 10. And there's probably some deep-pocketed booster who would help offset some of that, because I'm sure they're frustrated. But do you try to just revamp the assistant coaches? I mean, this is clearly an X and O issue, but I don't know who scores.
I think it's a talent issue. A guard play is terrible. Like, or just, I mean, they got some talent there. Like, Lander is a very talented, he's just young. He's way too young, right? Like, he's 17 coming into this year and should be a high school senior, but they just don't have guards who can go make plays. Like, I like Race Thompson. I like Trace Jackson Davis. They got some toughness there, and they defend, but they just can't score with Big Ten teams, and it's a big part of basketball.
You know, we saw today, like, that game was so offensively miserable to watch, Purdue-Indiana. And, like, then in the same conference, you get Illinois-Ohio State. That looks so much better. It's great. Like, the gap in offenses in this league is silly. Like, it was bad. Anyway.
Well, you think about it, like, Wisconsin. They have these bad stretches. Rutgers, Michigan State, Indiana. Like, those teams are pretty dang good defensively. But they can't get to that next level offensively. Like, even Purdue, I think, is a really good team. They just got good big man play, right? And their guards have played pretty well here. But they're not to the caliber of, you know, the top three teams in this league. And I think Ohio State's got a higher ceiling than Purdue, even if Purdue maybe has a higher floor.
I will say Zach Edey's going to get a lot of national love here in the next week because he's 7 foot forever and people love tall people. So Penn State, I don't know that it's the worst thing to bring him back, you know, just take off the interim tag.
They're going to hire some East Coast coach, right? Some A-10 guy.
Yeah, comes maybe.
I don't think you can stick with another interim. But do they care? I don't know.
I don't know. And then, so then the big question mark to me is Wisconsin. I don't think anything.
No.
But I could make an argument for it. I just don't know how much water you can continue to tread before you want to make some headway.
The thing is, he's been really good. Like, he had one bad year.
I know. It would be
really good. Like, Wisconsin, I think the last 3 years still has the best Big Ten record. Like, or they're two or three in that list.
I have questions about their future, though.
Yes, I agree.
I have a lot of questions about what this next step for that program is. Maybe they don't address that right now in a pandemic year. And that's the other thing. Like,
I agree with you on that. I want to say, I agree with you. Like, I think it finally, and every time we say this, they don't, but I think it finally might be time where Wisconsin's not a top 5 team in the Big Ten. Like, they don't do it every year. Cause I mean, this team was pretty talented, right? And it's old and they went 10-10. So I just think that's a next year question for them, not a this year.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think the bigger question, would Northwestern actually do it?
Yeah.
I don't think they will. Like, I think they should talk to Porter Moser, but is that a big change? You're probably going to recruit the same kind of guys, right? So I think they'll probably stick with Chris Collins because they're going to have a team next year. I could see Northwestern next year winning 8 or 9 games, right? Because they're going to be old. They're all coming back. They're scrappy, but like, is that, I thought you would try to be better than that.
You would think Northwestern's, I mean, I just feel like, boy, has anyone got as many miles out of making the tournament once, right? I mean, like, they love it. And
it was 4 years ago.
It was Nathan Taphorn, man.
Brad Underwood was hired the day they almost beat Gonzaga to get to the Sweet 16.
What a day. Good call on that. Wow.
I rarely remember these things, but that day was a big day, and I do remember that. So a fantasy baseball draft at the time.
We talked in football, and it was a lovey question. Like, well, money's tight. It's a pandemic. I mean, that hasn't changed, right? So, like, how much can teams really – and I don't know the buyouts of – I know Archie because I read it today, and I know it's really high. But that has to play at least some level of a factor, and maybe it's not as high for some of these guys, and maybe I'm over, you know, guessing, but – I can see a couple shakeups. I mean, obviously, I think Minnesota just feels pretty – like, the report's coming out. It's like, geez, you're going to go to Indianapolis, huh?
Yeah.
But, you know, what do you do from there? I don't know. But Penn State's interesting. I could make an argument to keep him. Like you said, I could make an argument to pull somebody from the East Coast and go from there.
And I think Maryland fans still want Turgeon gone. So even though this was probably one of his more impressive coaching jobs because it wasn't very very talented team. All right, Joey Wagner, let's go. Let's wrap it up. We're about an hour here. I know you're working on a story about Illinois getting ready for the postseason, and boy, do they look ready for the postseason, winning 11 of their last 12. Derek Piper writing about that masked man, Ayo Dosunmu, looking the same as always. So he's out in Columbus, and Ayo's family was out there, so we might hear from them as well. I got my player grades and might write about what Brad Underwood and his team saying they have a chance, they should win the Big Ten championship, which I think, Joey, just to wrap it up, I think they need Michigan to lose to have a case for that.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, we wondered what it was going to look like after they won, like, oh boy, like this is gonna, we kicked that problem down the road because we knew people were going to be frustrated after that, probably understandably so. But yeah, if Michigan loses, I think this gets a little storm. But
just imagine next week, Joey, we could have a rematch of Illinois-Iowa and potentially a rematch of Illinois-Michigan. Oh.
Oh, good night, man. Good night. You know, before we wrap up, what do you do if you're Brad? In the sense of, like, let's say Michigan loses on Sunday. Yeah. What do you do? Do you, like, write a letter to the Big Ten petition? Like, how do you reasonably take these words and
not look like a joke, right? Like, I don't want, like, there's the worry here. Like, if Michigan goes 15-2, I think you just got to drop it, right? Like,
yeah.
Because Michigan probably would have won, you know, at least two of those next three games, right? And they deserve it. They're a great, great team. But so if they go 15-2 and you make a big deal out of this and you keep hitting on it, I think that could look bad for you. Right. Like, but if they go 14-3 and you're 16-4, like I could sit there publicly and make a case for you. And I think, you know, the national pundits could sit there and go, you know, there's a weird year. We don't want to be rewarding trophies to everybody, but they won 16 out of 20 games. Right. And they beat Michigan head to head. Like maybe they should have a co-Big Ten championship trophy, but I think you're counting on Tom Izzo and Michigan State to knock off. Otherwise, I think if you fight for it too much, I think you should be done with it. Like I just think you made your case, you said it today. Now just let it go and go get to the Final Four.
But if you really if they lose and you really feel like it, what is the step to try to get some action?
You let somebody else fight that battle. So if you want Josh Whitman to do it, have Josh Whitman do it. If you want John Rothstein, who's got the bat phone or whatever, to do it, you have him do it. Or you have one of us do it, even though I wouldn't do that. Like, but you can make the case, right, through the media. But I don't know if he's going to call up Kevin Warren.
Well, then what?
I think that's a warm and toasty relationship.
Now, what if they end up winning the tournament? And then they beat Michigan in the process, and you beat them twice, and it's like, where does that factor in?
Maybe that's the motivation now. Like, maybe that's the motivation, Joey, is we're not – the Big Ten's not giving us a banner for our great regular season, right, including a pretty historic finish to it, right? So let's go get our banner. There you go. Let's go get our – that's – you know, you want it in the Final Four, but you can go win one this weekend. Let's go get our banner. That's probably a rallying cry.
And some punks picked Iowa and Michigan instead of us. There's a rallying cry.
Right. So you can thank us when Illinois wins the Big Ten championship. All right, Joey Wagner, get to work, man.
All right, man.
Dang, we went long there, but there's a lot to talk about right now as we get ready for the postseason. How could you not be pumped if you're an Illini fan after the way this team closed out its season and closed out a great win at Ohio State. All right, stay tuned to IlliniInquirer.com for the latest on Illinois. Again, Derek's got something on IO. I'll have player grades, Joey on something getting ready for the postseason. And we have plenty of content getting you ready for the postseason as well. So stick to Illini Inquirer for that. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate when you do that. Everybody have a great rest of the weekend. Enjoy it. I think you are feeling on cloud nine right now about your basketball team, but take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.